Well, yesterday, the Today Show dealt with the Muslim viewpoint on the afterlife. The day before that, actually, the broadcast day before that would have been Friday last week. The Today Show had a little bit on a Jewish view of the afterlife. As expected today, on schedule, they presented the Christian view of the afterlife. Insofar as the Today Show can get these things straight, I want your reaction to what you're about to hear as we play, as the first of three pieces from the Today Show during Audio Open Lines, the Christian view of the afterlife. Did they get it right? Are you surprised? Are you disappointed? And then we've also got a roundtable discussion from the Today Show on Christianity in America. I think it features an evangelical layperson, an evangelical minister, an Episcopalian layperson, and an atheist, and then a moderator from the Today Show. And they're talking about the influence of Christianity religion in America, also a report on American evangelicals. That's all up in the next few minutes here of Issues Etc. Audio Open Lines. The last 45 minutes is all for your questions and for your comments and your reaction to these pieces. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. You can email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And we are coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 14th day of November. Let's hit the ground running here. The first piece from NBC Today Show has to do, it's called Making It Through the Pearly Gates, but it has to do with the Christian view of the afterlife.
This morning we continue our special series, How to Get to Heaven, with a look at the Christian faith. Christians account for 83% of the American population, divided into more than 600 denominations. So how do Christians get into heaven? According to the Bible, there is one way and only one way that guarantees passage through the pearly gates. More than 80% of Americans believe in heaven, yet it seems like an awesome task for Christians to describe.
One of the most beautiful lines in all of the Bible is something that St. Paul says when he's trying to describe heaven. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into man's imagination, the amazing things that God has prepared for those who love him.
Father Thomas Williams, Dean of Theology and an NBC News analyst, believes that our personal images of heaven are often counterproductive.
Try your best to imagine the most beautiful thing you can, and it doesn't even come close to what heaven is like.
I've been expecting you.
And for decades, Hollywood has attempted to portray heaven with little success.
A lot of people think that it's sitting on a cloud, you're wearing angel's wings, playing a harp. To me, that would be hell.
Pastor Rick Warren preaches to 20,000 Southern Baptists every Sunday at the Saddleback Church in California.
God works for the good of those who love him.
Warren is also the author of The Purpose-Driven Life.
There are some things we do know for certain about heaven. One is there's no sorrow, no suffering, no crying, no tears.
Our bodies complete once they pass through the pearly gates.
It will be a body with no imperfections, I thank God.
Will God's four-legged creatures be with us in our next life?
If you need your pet to be happy, your pet will be in heaven.
And what about eating, drinking?
The Bible makes it pretty clear that there's going to be eating and drinking in heaven. I'm glad for that.
Before we get on to the children's view, because they go on and they start doing kids do the darndest things. Apparently, you know, when they do the Jewish view of the afterlife, the Today Show goes to the Jewish comedians and talks to them about what their view of the afterlife is, and they toss in a few rabbis of a liberal persuasion to kind of give it a little credibility. When they go to the Muslims, it's all very serious. They talk to the scholars, they talk to the imams, and then when they go to the Christians, it's Rick Warren. Oh, by the way, did you know that he authored The Purpose-Driven Life? Did you know that? If you didn't know that already, you are comatose. But apparently, that needs to be pointed out again and again. It's kind of like saying, William Shakespeare, by the way, did you know he wrote that little thing called Romeo and Juliet? Yeah, among other plays. Rick Warren, and then they start polling the kids about what heaven is going to be like. Again, this is about as serious as their treatment of the Jewish view of the afterlife. It's a little annoying, but what do you expect? But the questions. Will there be food and drink in heaven? I understand those to be the kind of lowest common denominator questions that people have about the afterlife. But nowhere in all of this is the real point of what heaven is for Christians. Yet, we'll keep listening. Nowhere. It's all about, will I really be happy? Yes, you'll be happy. No, I mean, will I really be happy? Yes, you will. Okay, but what I mean it is, will I have everything there that makes me happy now? And I'm a little disappointed in the Catholic priest who chimed in there and said, if you need your pet in heaven to be happy, you'll have your pet. I think this is probably why Scripture tells us so little about what heaven is going to be like. Because we've got a laundry list of things that we think need to be there to keep us happy for eternity. And for some reason, on this side of eternity, even Christians are willing to pass judgment on their bliss in eternity if they don't have this. Well, look, if it don't have beer, I don't want to be there. That's a common statement made by many Lutheran pastors about heaven. They do it tongue in cheek. Look, you will be happy even without beer, even if Fido isn't there. I do happen to believe that our pets will be in heaven. Don't get me started. I do happen to believe that, but it's not because God said, well, they just wouldn't be happy if they didn't have their pets. No, it has more to do with Christ redeeming all of creation. You see what's missing here in this so-called Christian view of the afterlife? Jesus. So far. You know the best thing about heaven, without which it wouldn't even be heaven at all? Jesus. We're sitting here worrying about, well, will I have my food and my drink? Will I eat my McDonald's? We're worried about these things. And I actually spend time. What I wish Rick Warren would have said is, it doesn't make any difference. The very thing that is our life, our righteousness, our salvation, the very one who is our life will be there. And we have been promised all things in him. Now, what all things includes is even more than you can imagine. You think you got your list about what will keep you happy for eternity in heaven? God has already got the list, and it's covered. Don't worry. Getting a little bit worked up. I'd like to hear from you on this morning's NBC Today Show piece on what Christians believe about the afterlife, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's just a little irritating that even we as Christians hold God to a standard. He has been planning this from the foundations of the world. He bankrupted himself and all of heaven and spent the life of his son, Jesus Christ, to earn this for us, and we second guess him. Well, I don't know if Grandma's not there with her apple pie on the front porch. I don't know if it's going to be heaven for me. It is a very good thing God is patient, especially with us Christians. Back to the Today Show piece.
Do children think any differently about what's going on up there?
There's clouds. I know that my pets in heaven. They play, and they walk, and they talk. It's like a light thing that goes all around you. God needed an angel, so that's why my brother went up to heaven.
Heaven is real, and I know it is. I've seen it.
Reverend Don Piper believes he saw heaven 17 years ago on a bridge in eastern Texas after his car was hit head-on by an 18-wheeler.
The truck hit Don's car, completely crushing the vehicle and killing Don Piper.
I was standing at the very gates of heaven. The people that I saw there were fully recognizable as themselves, but you could tell they weren't complete.
Don waited 15 years to tell people about his experience in heaven and even wrote a book about it.
Heaven is a buffet for the senses. It is a sensory explosion. I saw colors there that don't exist here. I heard sounds there I've never heard here. All the songs I heard in heaven were hallelujah songs. There's so many of them, and they were all being played at the same time.
Why is it that baby boomers always picture heaven like going to a rock concert on an LSD trip? The music, oh baby, you gotta hear the music in heaven, and the colors. And my hand, it was like as big as a football field. It's like they're tripping on acid when they visit heaven. At least this guy was. I'm sorry, again. I grow impatient. You want to find out a Christian view of heaven. You could walk down the street in practically any little town, knock on a church door, and ask even the most meager-minded of pastors, What does the Bible teach us about what heaven is? And you'll probably get more substantive answers than this. But instead, they go to this guy whose claim to fame is having been a reckless driver on a bridge. He claims to have visited heaven in a near-death experience. And when he comes back, he makes it sound like the Beatles' visit to the guru in India. The colors. The music, wow. And I saw Jerry Garcia there. Although he didn't seem entirely happy. Again, our expectations of what heaven is like. And now, every generation does this. Every generation sets its expectations on what heaven's going to be like. Which is, again, I guess why God doesn't tell us much of what it is going to be like. He simply lets us know that the important person who has earned our passage there, Jesus Christ, will be there.
Christians need only do one thing here on earth to guarantee salvation in heaven.
You will go to heaven when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord.
Anne Graham Lotz, daughter of evangelical leader Billy Graham, has passionately proclaimed God's word for over 30 years through her angel ministry.
He would never have sent his son to die on the cross if there had been any other way for us to get to heaven.
Life has to end, Eddie. Love doesn't.
Mitch Albom's The Five People You Meet in Heaven has sold over 8 million copies worldwide and was made into a TV movie. Throughout travels on his latest bestseller, Albom says that people are hungry to learn more about heaven.
There's certain universal truths about being kind to one another, about sacrificing for the greater good, about making time for people, about forgiveness.
I forgive you, Dad. I forgive you.
People are afraid of getting to heaven and then finding out, oh, that's what I was supposed to do.
Is there any sin, large or small, that is not forgiven by God?
The only sin that's not forgivable is rejecting Jesus as your Savior and Lord.
And in the New Testament, when God is rejected, another place awaits you.
Saints have talked about hell with great flourish. You can imagine all sorts of torturous and horrible things, but the worst thing about hell is not being with God.
Christians believe that God invites anybody and everybody to go to heaven. All you have to do is ask to go.
What are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Just give me Jesus and I'll be all right.
Well, thank goodness for that she sat at her dad's knee and at least understood in its bare bones fashion the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's at least finally they get someone to say what heaven is about, what we ought to be expecting is Christ himself. He is our reward. You know, Rick Warren has his expectations about what heaven should be like. What he expects is tons and tons of rewards, which he has earned for himself, and which you can earn too if you buy his book and follow it for 40 days, which he has earned for himself during this life. That's his expectation. If he gets there and his rewards are any less than he thinks he has chalked up for himself, I don't know, he might be a little disappointed. He might be surprised to find out that Christ himself is our reward. Although, and you can't blame this on the media, this is just, did you hear the phrase, Christians believe that someone need do only one thing to guarantee passage to heaven? Did you hear that? And that is, believe in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing you have to do to get into heaven. Believe. Now, you can't blame that on the liberal or biased media, that they got that one completely wrong. Because believing in Jesus Christ is the opposite of doing. It's not doing. It's trusting in what Jesus has done. There's a huge difference between saying, what do I have to do? The answer to that is nothing. In fact, there's nothing you can do. Jesus has done everything. And saying, well, the only condition, the only thing you need to do is believe in Jesus. One turns faith into a work, and the other one keeps faith centered on the person and work of Jesus Christ. But you can't blame that on the liberal media, because there are a lot of Christians out there who believe just that. That the one thing they've done to earn their way to heaven is believe in Jesus. Oh yeah, Jesus did that cross thing. But it was me. I did that. I did the real thing that got me to heaven, which is I made him the Lord of my life. I made him my Lord and Savior. I trusted him. There are a lot of Christians who believe this. Care to react to this Today Show segment from this morning on what Christians believe about the afterlife? I've done my reacting. Now it's your turn. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Do you think I've overreacted to it? Or did you hear something there that I didn't hear? Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's audio open lines this Tuesday, the 14th of November. Jan in Altoona, Pennsylvania writes this. Why was the Islam segment taken so seriously? She's talking about the Today Show segment on Islam's view of the afterlife. It seems the Today Show took the Islamic view of heaven much more seriously than either the two other religions, that is, Judaism and Christianity. I think that they did not want to take it seriously as a whole. And if they would have taken the Christian view of heaven seriously, they would have had to address the real question, how? Christ, of course. Comedians and cute kiddos just don't cut it. But it does make for morning television entertainment. Where did they find those people? Asks Jan. Well, they didn't have to go far to find Rick Warren, who was happy to talk about eating and drinking in heaven and to joke that, you know, I'm happy that they'll be eating and drinking in heaven. Because Rick is kind of portly. I mean, he'd be the first one to admit that. At least he doesn't have to go on a diet when he gets there. How would that be heaven? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Andy calls from Kirkwood. Hi, Andy.
Well, Todd, I'm in despair here. The one thing that I'm told that I have to do in order to get to heaven, I can't do.
I know. Tough cookies, Andy.
Oh, well, okay.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, Lutherans confess. It's ingenious, but it flies in the face of what most Christians profess, that we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, or come to him. It is a statement of utter helplessness. In answer to the question, what did you contribute to your salvation? It's a resounding and echoing nothing. I cannot, by my reason or strength, even trust Jesus. But, and now the action shifts from me and what I can't do to God and what he has done through the Holy Spirit and the preaching of Christ. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. That is the message of what Jesus has done. He's enlightened me and sanctified me with his gifts. I think that's a reference there, by the way, to God's word and his sacraments. And not only has he done all this, but through these same means, he still keeps me and preserves me in the one Christian faith, and he will be good on his promise made in the gospel to on the last day raise me from the dead with all believers in Jesus Christ. So on whom does your salvation depend? A lot of Christians would quickly say, oh, on Jesus. And then they quickly interject, but of course I had to do something too. Which is the way it was portrayed by the Today Show. I'll hand them this much. They were accurately depicting what most Christians believe about the afterlife. Not necessarily what the Christian church teaches about the afterlife. Matt calls from Florida. Hi, Matt.
So Rick Warren's in a semi-eschatological state, is he?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I was just going to be able to eat and have all that good, so he doesn't have to change a whole lot when he gets there.
Hey, if heaven is anything, it is seeker-sensitive. Remember...
Oh, is that it?
Right. The philosophy is you go out and you find out what people want to hear, what they want to do, and then you accommodate yourself to them, and God follows the same rule. God is probably going to take a survey sometime soon about what people want in heaven, and then if he follows Rick Warren's philosophy, he'll make sure we all have it there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
To be serious for a second, this is...
Well, I was serious, but go ahead.
Well, I know. I mean me, not
okay.
You. I know you're pretty much always serious. I like that. You know, this is what you get in a fat and sassy culture. I mean, this is... I remember a discussion I had with my grandmother years ago when she was on her deathbed, pretty much. She was in the hospital with, you know, it was pancreatic cancer. And we were all having a discussion about heaven similar to that. And she stopped me one night dead in my tracks when she said, "I don't care about any of that. I just want to see my Lord." Fat and sassy culture doesn't believe it's going to die. People don't believe they're going to die.
And if they do believe they're going to die, in theory, they want life after death to basically just be a continuation with
exactly.
slight improvements of this life.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Matt. Good insight. Right. Did Jesus come to give you just more of what you've already got? Or something entirely new, something entirely outside yourself? Or will heaven just be the ultimate self-improvement? We'll all finally be self-actualized. We'll all finally be well-adjusted, balanced. Or is Scripture serious when it says, actually Jesus himself says, that he is the way, the truth, and the life? He is the life. Best definition of heaven I know. Eric in Olathe, Kansas writes this. We get him via the email, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor, what really bugs me is that after all the care and diligence and study and work that has gone into translating the Bible, distributing it, teaching from it, studying it, after all the great scholarship done over the millennia, people are so flippant about just saying whatever they feel like the truth is today. They don't care whether they're right or what is true. On the other hand, the Episcopal Church USA could probably learn something from this segment. Well, I think you're right. In some sectors, things are so far gone, even what the Today Show presented would be considered heady stuff and improvement. But you're right. Think about it. God went to all that trouble to preserve his word for us and to make it, to open access to it so freely. And when people say, what do you think heaven will be like? People say, I don't know. I kind of imagine it this way, rather than actually consulting the one who lives there. Bill calls from Breckenridge Hills. Bill, welcome to Issues, etc.
Yes. My comment is, people don't have any trouble in a way with the Father or Jesus, but it seems like they don't understand the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And real quick, I was going to make something comment about Osteen. His church is like a Will Rogers show, like Will Rogers and the Comedian from years ago. And it's like a lot of these churches are like circus performances anymore. Thank you. I'll hang up, listen to what you have to say.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much. Well, I agree with you on the second point, and I disagree with you on the first point. I think the reason people fail to understand the work of the Holy Spirit is because they fail to understand the person and work of Jesus Christ. If you spend your time talking about the Spirit, then you're not doing what the Spirit does. What the Spirit does, Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, the Spirit is sent from the Father to do one thing and one thing alone, to testify of him, to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, all of which are a testimony to Jesus' payment for our sin, Jesus as our righteousness, and Jesus as the one who underwent sin's judgment for us at the cross. When we come back, 10 more minutes in Audio Open Lines.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would it surprise you to learn that the first several centuries of the Christian church were years plagued by controversy? There were arguments over the most basic of Christian teachings, the doctrine of the Trinity, the person of Christ, and the very nature of salvation in Jesus Christ. Does it surprise you that many Christians are completely unaware of this history? The old saying goes, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for November is called The Great Jesus Debates. You can find The Great Jesus Debates at our website, issuesetc.org. It's right there on the homepage, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask them for the Issues, Etc. book of the month for November, The Great Jesus Debates by Dr. Douglas Johnson, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
racial differences? They're only skin deep.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the designers of the large Creation Museum to open next spring near Cincinnati, Ohio. Ken, I've heard you say that physical characteristics like skin color and eye shape, which are used to divide people up into the so-called races, are really quite insignificant. How?
Well, in recent times, scientists have mapped what's called the human genome, and it's received worldwide attention. Now, in an article in the New York Times about this, a doctor from the North General Hospital in Manhattan made the following interesting statement a few years ago. Quote, "If you ask what percentage of your genes is reflected in your external appearance, the basis by which we talk about race, the answer seems to be in the range of 0.01%, end of quote. This means that genetically, surface differences like skin color, eye shape, and so on are very insignificant. And if this is true, then why do people make such an issue of them? Another scientist interviewed in the same article commented, quote, "The criteria that people use for race are based entirely on external features we are programmed to recognize," end of quote. In other words, it's really prejudice, not genetics. What a difference it makes when people believe the Bible. Then we'd know we're all one race, equal before God, being sinners in need of salvation.
For the easy-to-understand scientific evidence that shows that we're all of one blood, read Ken Ham's free booklet on racism at AnswersRadio.com. It's a free service of AnswersRadio.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Rathard, host of the Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO. We're going to be live on the road on Wednesday, and you're invited to come sit in on the broadcast. We'll be at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Pastor Bill Simmons will be our guest, and we'll finish up Luke chapter 1. Come on out. Visit us on the Bible Study at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
On the next Midday Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO, T. Colin Campbell, Ph.D., joins us, co-author of what is billed as the most comprehensive study of nutrition ever conducted. Well, we'll find out. It's called the China Study, and it begins at 11:05, Living Jubilee with Paul Clayton and me, Diane Summers, on AM 850 KFUO.
Well, here we go again. We're taking our Bible study on the road, and I'm hoping you can join us and participate in the broadcast. It'll be Wednesday, November 15th. We'll originate our regular Bible study program from Christ Memorial Lutheran Church, 5252 South Lindbergh in St. Louis. Pastor Bill Simmons will be the guest. Why don't you come to our live broadcast and bring a friend? Lunch will be served afterwards, and I hope to see you on Wednesday, November 15th, 10:05 in the morning for our live Bible study program from Christ Memorial Lutheran Church in St. Louis.
A lot of people think that it's sitting on a cloud, you're wearing angel's wings playing a harp. To me, that would be hell.
Pastor Rick Warren.
That's Rick Warren commenting on, what would be what the make it or break it issue for him on the afterlife? Yes, he's right. It is not sitting on a cloud wearing wings. That's quite true. The Christian view of the afterlife has nothing to do with wings, and it has nothing to do with sitting on clouds. We look forward to, as the Apostle Peter says, a new heaven and a new earth, the home of, what does he say? The home of righteousness. And he's not talking about your righteousness or Rick's righteousness or Wilkins' righteousness. He's talking about Christ's righteousness. That's what makes heaven, heaven. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday. 10 more minutes. We're coming to you live on November the 14th, and we're getting your reaction to this morning's Today Show feature on the Christian view of the afterlife. About as much substance there as one could expect. And at least the one glimmer of hope in that whole feature was at the very end, Billy Graham's daughter at least saying, if you expect anything of heaven, expect Jesus. I want your reaction, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I'll get to the rest of this email here in just a minute, but first let's talk with Sandy in Alton. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. My comment is not necessarily about this discussion, but I'm referring to what you had talked about, the errors that are out there being taught by churches. For instance, the making Jesus the Lord of your life. I've got a doozy for you. I just saw today when I drove by a big Seeker church, make Jesus your financial advisor.
No.
Yes.
You're joking.
I am not joking. This is a, yes, it's a large community church, seeker sensitive, and I am not kidding. That was on the marquee.
Make Jesus your financial
advisor. Yes,
sir. All right. Thank you very much, Sandy. Truth is stranger than fiction. There's no doubt about it. I'm trying to think of what financial advice Jesus would give us. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. That would really go over well in suburbia, wouldn't it? Cash in your IRA, your kids' college fund, your checking account, your mutual funds, your stock portfolio, all of your holdings, sell your house, your car, your big screen TV, the fancy SUV that you park in the church parking lot. Oh, and by the way, church, sell your big fancy building and your big screen TV too. And praise band, sell all your instruments, your mics, your state-of-the-art sound system. And while we're being fair, those other kind of churches, we hope you're listening too, sell your pulpits and your Gothic architecture and your parking lots. And give it to somebody who needs it. Now, that's the kind of financial advice that won't make you rich. But maybe it's the best kind. I don't know. If you want Jesus as a financial advisor, the only other piece of advice in the finances area that I think he ever gave was, pay your taxes, stupid. That's the kind of financial advice we don't want. I think I'll stick with my brother-in-law, who doesn't give me much advice. He just takes money out of my check every month. Here's some email. This one comes from Chris in Carson City, Nevada. If they were to ask me what heaven is or is like, I would have no clue. I honestly can't picture it, writes Chris. I cannot even begin to form an idea. I can't fathom what it will be or how God can keep me happy forever. To be honest, and this is a terrible reflection on me, I can't even picture Christ as enough. And I know who I am and how self-centered I am, and I would think I would soon lose interest. What I do know is that it is promised as paradise and that we would be like the sun. I can't fathom it. I just believe it, writes Chris. Yes, heaven is an article of faith. I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. I think one of our creeds ends that way, because it is something to be believed rather than something to be imagined. And there's a huge difference between imagination and faith. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's audio open lines. We're getting your reaction to a piece from the Today Show on NBC this morning on the Christian view of the afterlife, just about as substantive as their treatment of the Jewish view of the afterlife. And I'm with our emailer earlier. I don't understand why they got all serious when they dealt with the Muslim view of the afterlife. Well, the Today Show also dealt this morning with, under the theme, the mysteries of the faith, the subject of evangelicals.
And now to our special look at the mystery of faith. More than 156 million Americans identify themselves as Christians in one form or another. And one powerful group of Christians is changing the religious landscape of the nation, preaching its gospel far and wide. They're one of the fastest growing segments in Christianity, the almost 45 million Americans calling themselves evangelicals.
I am passing through this earth.
What do they believe? A majority are born again with conservative values and believe that salvation comes through personal relationships with Jesus and that Christians should actively spread their values.
In Jesus' name.
Their impact is real, whether it's having one of their own in the White House.
At least you know what I believe and where I stand.
Or arguing gay marriage, prayer in school, and public displays of the Ten Commandments. But some evangelicals say they are misunderstood as right-wing zealots.
I have a little hesitancy at times with that word evangelical because it's so big and broad and it's so political now.
Evangelicals are not monolithic. They don't agree on everything. You have evangelicals who are part of the religious right, and you have those who are very progressive and talk about the war in Iraq, and talk about the environment, talk about poverty, and they're critical of both the right and the left.
Judging by the mega growth of their mega churches, tripling in the U.S. in the last decade, the churches are offering something people want.
He can bring your dreams to pass.
Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church in Houston draws the largest crowd with 30,000 people attending Sunday services.
Our message is that you may have gone through things in the past, you may have addictions or stuff you're dealing with, but you know what? God can help you through any of that. That every day can be a new beginning.
Take a look inside and you can see the attraction.
When the music starts, you just can't help but just start singing and worshiping and praising the Lord.
And evangelical Christianity is big business. Whether it's the increasing popularity of Christian rock and movies, or the newer trend, wearing your faith, altogether it brings in close to $3 billion a year.
The mission for our brand is to open conversations about faith.
But it is a faith built on strict moral values. Could the recent drug and sex scandal involving national evangelical leader Ted Haggard change some hearts? And with some 45% of evangelicals voting Democrat in the last election, could some minds be changing as well?
We're at a turning point for evangelicalism when a lot of rank and file grassroots evangelicals are beginning to question their allegiance to the leaders of the religious right.
You know, to me it seems altogether natural. This just occurred to me in listening to that piece on evangelicals. I mean, how many conversations have we had? How many pieces have we heard of late about the evangelical voter or evangelicals, values voters or Christians? Dozens. It just occurred to me. A movement that has purposefully said, we will let the culture shape who we are. We will let the culture tell us how to do church. We will let the culture tell us what to preach, tell us what to sing, tell us what to pray, tell us what to be concerned about. Is it any wonder that such a movement, I speak here of evangelicalism, would be constantly changing and could be changing into something entirely different than it has been for the last 20 years? After all, if the culture calls the shots, the culture calls the shots. Oh, and by the way, Joel Osteen, I know you don't want to be called an evangelical, but to call yourself one, you have to have something to do with the gospel. And the last couple times, dozen times I've heard you preach, there was no evangel. There was no gospel. Issues Etc. is brought to you in part by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Truly evangelical in the actual true sense of the word, that is, centered upon the gospel of Jesus Christ for sinners. To find out more about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit our website tonight, issuesetc.org, or call them 1-800-481-2155. Tomorrow, Parables with Dr. Peter Scare. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.